The debate surrounding armed officers in schools across Connecticut continues at the local level. For example, right here in Milford, hiring retired officers to man all the elementary schools is actually part of the proposed school budget for next year. So a lot of districts are having similar conversations or have been or are thinking about it in the near future. But a new bill is being discussed up in Hartford, taking things one step further for schools looking to hire retired officers and those officers potentially having a record. Joining us now to talk more about this is one of our law enforcement experts on the show. Gary McNamara joins us back. Hey, Gare, how are you?
Hey, Melissa, how are you?
I mean, I can't complain, friend. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey,
always.
Real quick. I know you intro'd kind of this talk about school security guards, and we'll talk about that for a second. Could I jump back into this Glock switch thing that you had
sure,
discussed earlier?
Sure, why not?
Earlier,
just derail the show. Absolutely. Listen, who am I? Yeah,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
You do.
Listen,
you.
I know. I'm a guest. I don't organize. It's your
no,
show.
No, yes. But you're okay. So really quick for people who yeah. might be missing what you're talking about. So the governor is actually talking today about a ban he would like on sales and importation of firearms that can easily be converted into automatic weapons. I'm actually really glad that you're kind of diving into this a little bit because truth be told, which you know this, I do not own a gun. I'm okay with people bearing arms and all that. I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. But this to me, so I can understand on the surface people being able to manufacture guns either illegally or without being traced. Like I'm all for cracking down on things like that. But there was a part of this legislation that worried me, which made it sound like there would be a crackdown on even more legal guns, essentially, because of this Glock switch. I don't totally understand all of it, so I actually am glad that you want to talk about
jumped
it a little
in,
bit.
Jumped
yeah.
in. Perfect.
Yeah.
So I did good. Perfect. Excellent.
You did good.
So I did good.
Perfect.
A couple of things. You mentioned the printers, the 3D printers.
Yes.
So people who have those printers can, you know, with a work, and I mean, it's fairly simple, but you have to understand it. You can manufacture a firearm, and that's oftentimes what they call ghost guns, is that there's no way to trace it. So you can make it at home, and then there's no way to trace it. That's the one component. The second thing is that, and when they mention this small Lego piece device, so this small little switch, they call it, mm-hmm. it can be utilized, and they call it a Glock switch because it primarily can be utilized on a Glock handgun because the way that the trigger is on a Glock. And that little small device, when placed properly, can make a Glock firearm that is a semi-automatic, meaning it'll shoot every time you pull the trigger, can make it automatic, meaning all you have to do is pull the trigger once and the device enables it to basically continue to fire until you run out of ammunition or you take your finger off the firing pin or the trigger.
Okay.
Now, in that statute, it also mentions that any gun that can be modified using this small little device will be banned in the future.
Well, so that was the part that concerned me. So again, right. if you break that down into two separate things, so two things can be true, even if they're totally opposite. So I agree with the idea of we should not be manufacturing this piece that you're talking about, this Lego size piece. I think logically that just sounds insanely dangerous and crazy and wild. And I don't love that. I don't personally love that. However, in the same breath, in the language where it says we want to prohibit the sale of any new handguns that can easily be converted, I would imagine, especially with technological advances, couldn't anything be converted? I mean, what couldn't be converted? It seems like this is a pretty, I mean, even if manufacturers are like, nope, not this type of Glock being made. I don't know. To me, that just seems like you could basically say any gun could be converted with this type of manufacturing.
Yeah.
That's my concern.
Well, it may be. I mean, with other devices, this switch can really only be utilized for similar handguns with regards to the trigger, the way the trigger's designed.
Oh.
But so but that's really specific to the Glock handgun. I mean, California just passed a ban. I don't think it's gone into effect yet, where it basically bans Glock firearms from being sold in California. You can still possess them if you own them, but they're banned in California. Now, and I'm not, you know, let that be a debate. You know, I think that's the key, is that people have to understand that within those bills, it's just important that we debate. So everybody, and you highlighted it beautifully in the sense that you said, wait a minute, there's some little line in there that's concerning to me. At least concerning in the sense of let's bring it out. Everybody should understand what we're debating. The firearm itself and then the little kind of Lego piece. The Lego piece is a no-brainer. You know, you shouldn't possess it, and if you possess it, you should be charged with it. But then in addition to that, they're looking at those firearms that can be modified so easily, potentially there's a ban moving forward with
on
those
selling
firearms.
Those.
So that's
right.
The debate.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like you could have legal handguns, these new handguns, which again are legal on the market, but they're saying that they would want to prohibit the sale of them because they can be, I mean, basically they could be flawed by if people use these little Lego piece enhancements. So I feel like to me, those are two very different things. I mean, prohibit, obviously, the manufacturing of it, hold the manufacturers more accountable. I'm down for that. But to take away, you know, it sounds like these types of handguns that can be easily manipulated. There's the word I'm looking for. That's a totally separate argument, I think, because now you're talking about cracking down on just a legal gun. That is
right. Exactly. And the Glock firearms are used, you know, people transition in law enforcement. Some use them, some don't. Some have gone back to them. Some have changed models. But, you know, the Glock firearm is a common firearm used by law enforcement officers. And I know it would exempt them, but the key would be it's a reliable firearm and oftentimes used by law enforcement.
And they did say that they kind of looked to Hartford, actually. God, I'm really glad you brought this up, Gare. They did say that the Hartford Police Department between 2023 and 24 seized 51 of these Glock switches. But I'm curious if, I mean, so that alone to me makes it sound like, okay, this is an issue, obviously, here in Connecticut. But sometimes I worry that we pass legislation. Like, Connecticut has some of the toughest gun laws in the country. And I always find that it's like, oh, okay, we're going to address, you know, that they've got these illegal, you know, switches that they're finding and we need to help police. But, you know, and we need to have bigger conversations about helping police. We're not willing to have those to some degree. I don't mean to put you in a weird position. But I didn't know if you feel like this is the bigger issue that we should be tackling. The fact that, okay, yes, police have come across these just in the Hartford PD more than 50 in a year's time. That's worth looking at. But sometimes I feel like we do this kind of, I'm going to call it checkmark legislation, when really we don't get to the crux of the issues that police are facing. Just saying.
Yeah, no, and you're not putting me in a weird position. I think that this is dangerous, really, to make these handguns automatic. They're very dangerous, and these little devices are pretty simple to create. But I do think that, given that fact, I think we should be really sitting down with Glock and maybe people have, and say, are there little modifications you can make to prevent this from working as effectively as it is? I mean, that's really a part of the discussion that we should have, but it will be part of a debate. But in that law, as you kind of said, that, you know, kind of, you know, you kind of went in a second, that little moment, you kind of said, hey, that kind of dives into potential of banning Glock firearms from being sold in Connecticut. And that's part of the debate that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We're chatting with Gary McNamara, one of our law enforcement experts on the show, and we're talking about a bill right now looking at the hiring of retired armed officers. So retired police officers. I always get this wrong. And you're going to correct me. That's what you're going to do. You're going to correct me. The difference between armed officers and retired officers and all the other officers, you're going to do that. So I'll let you do that in a second. But basically, this bill is looking to clarify the hiring standards in the state's armed school officer law, specifically looking at track records of misconduct. This seems like a no-brainer, Gare.
Well, yeah, it's evolved. You know, the law and the safety measures have evolved, and this is just one of those measures that needs to be addressed. So basically, to summarize it, after the Sandy Hook tragedy, a lot of schools looked at beefing up their security. And we've had the discussion about SROs are sworn police officers that work for police departments or are paid by the Board of Ed, whatever, but they're sworn law enforcement officers, SROs. But after Sandy Hook, some departments not having the capacity, or police departments not having the capacity for school resource officers, the school districts went out and started hiring armed security guards. And the requirement for armed security guards was they had to be police officers who retired in good standing. Meaning, I was a police officer, I retired, now I can be an armed security guard at a school. And that mattered. Now, a lot of school districts, as you know, debate this. They debate it because some people are all in favor of it, that security matters and anything we can do to safely protect our schools, I'm all for it, while others are really debating because they're concerned that having armed officers, armed school officers in their schools, you know, is concerning to them that we're introducing guns to them.
Right.
And so that's the debate. Now, what we found was after the police accountability law, there was some debate about officers that are has nothing to do with police with schools right this second. Officers that retire or are under investigation, the law says you can't be hired by another police department.
Oh, but you could be hired by a school district.
Yeah, well, that's the loophole.
That's exactly the bill.
So
okay.
That's the thing. And so,
it's a no-brainer.
Well, that's exactly it. It kind of evolves. And I think that's what kind of happened was that they're looking at this and saying, wait a minute. And the study was done by there was a report out by the Connecticut Insider that said, wait a minute, there's a lot of police officers that are being hired, ex-officers, and they've had sustained misconduct or they retired while under investigation. And what this law is proposed to do is to close that loophole, that if you can't be hired by a police officer because of something you did, then you shouldn't be able to be hired as an armed security officer in one of our schools.
Okay, well, so now I'm going to go down a rabbit hole because, I can't imagine anyone sitting here being, even if you're, I hate the term, you know, I hate the term, I complain about it all the time. Even if you're pro-cop, to me, that just is logical. I mean, I can't imagine, there's already such a, you know, there's a differing of opinion, obviously, if you want an armed officer, an SRO, any of the mixture of those options in your schools. To have an idea that they have any kind of a record, I would think logically it's a no-brainer that you don't want them in your schools. It makes sense. Even if they've, I don't know, reformed, I don't know. Here's where I go down the rabbit hole. And again, we've got Gary McNamara here. So I think this makes sense. It's great. I'm curious, you know, if we do, like, if we're going to have a loophole like this that's closed for the police, that's great. I'd like to see that loophole also closed in some regard for teachers who do things wrong, being hired by other school districts or being able to, I don't know, work at camps. I hate to put this on you again, Gary. I'm making you so uncomfortable today, and I apologize. But, Gary, you live in the town where a guy who was working in your school district was fired and then was hired by your Parks and Rec and was working at a camp and was treating young girls horribly. And it was proven later on, but there was that loophole again. And it's interesting because I think it's important. We have the loophole covered for police in schools. Totally. I'm there. I don't feel like we have any, at least that I know of, any bills that have been introduced, though, about that happening in a school sector.
And you highlighted a lot of that in some of the regulations about, you know, camps that are done by towns and versus ones that are private camps and all the regulations that are required. Yeah, I agree with you. First of all, it's important to note that, you know, armed officers in the schools do a great job. And I'm not kind of just like circling back to applaud that, but it's important to note the problem with hiring with poor hires, meaning people that shouldn't be hired in the schools because of this loophole, it undermines the trust of the whole program. So that's the key component of it, because people will say, see, they're hiring and I can't trust them. So that's going to be the key. That is the same component, Melissa, and we've talked about it before with teachers or anybody else with responsibility. We have to make sure that when you hire somebody, if you come from another location, another district, another police department, that you are getting all the information to make an informed decision, and that something that might be in a person's past that would prevent them from being hired, but, you know, legally or whatever, that has to all be come out. And we have to make sure that all the information is out there, regardless of the position. If you're in a position of trust, to make sure that people hiring someone is making an informed decision based upon all the information and not information that they wish they had at a later date.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm, of course, as you're like talking about this, I'm trying to think of the teacher in Fairfield County that got in trouble, but was this a Darien teacher? I think so. Yeah. It was the Darien teacher who had already been in two other districts. And even though I believe they had had, you know, bad run-ins with him, or he had had records at those two other places, or was being investigated at least, and never got to Darien. Darien never got that. And so he, again, innocent until proven guilty, right? So he's only accused at this point. But same kind of deal. It is interesting. It's fascinating to me, and I've said this before, that I feel like there are certain industries that get and I'm not saying this bill that we're talking about with SROs and with armed retired officers in schools, there it absolutely should be addressed. The loophole shouldn't even have any debate around it. Yep, makes sense. Done. Let's fix it. Like, I'm with you. But I always find that there are also other very vital roles in our state where we just kind of are like, yeah. Like, to me, there is a loophole, absolutely, in how we're reporting or how we are, you know, regarding teachers that mess up or do something horrible, and we just kind of let them jump to a different district. I don't think there's enough of a strict, I think, protocol or reporting process for that.
Yeah, I think sometimes in the state and probably, you know, in the country as a whole, it's like we sometimes recognize problems, but we don't just pinpoint it and solve the problem at hand.
Totally.
So if you address like this one right here with the armed security officers, this one is a problem that was identified. And the Connecticut Insider did a good report on it, and you've reported on it. We've talked about it for the longest time. This is a problem, and this legislation will solve it. Boom. End of case. Now we should be looking at all those other things that have happened, the Darien teacher and other things, and saying, okay, what occurred and what will solve it? Because sometimes we look at like these blanket stuff, which is fine to have these discussions, but we don't necessarily solve the problem that we just identified. You know, we will always find problems, and we should be identifying. We should pinpoint it and say this is a problem, because if we don't, we're kind of painting this broad picture. Well, maybe this legislation might solve it. Let's just say this example of the armed officers, great example. They're being hired when they shouldn't be because they can't be police officers, and they're being hired. Let's close that loophole. Done. Now let's see what those other things are that keep people safe and make sure that we're doing the best we can for people that we hire that are in trusted positions, so we don't undermine confidence in the whole program, whether it's teachers, our schools, our police, or what have you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I look forward to maybe seeing if there's any lawmakers listening right now to some kind of legislation that addresses the teacher thing. I just think that is a piece of legislation I'd love to see happen. But both the Darien situation and the Bethany situation scream for that in recent years. So we'll see. Gary McNamara, always appreciate having you on. Thank you so much for your insight. We always appreciate it.